all. I'm Melissa Kretschmer with Maricopa County. For those of you who don't know, Maricopa County is located within Arizona. It is the third largest public health jurisdiction after New York City and Los Angeles County. It has almost 4 million residents, half of which, this represents about half of the state's population within our county. I work in the Communicable Disease Unit, and as the name implies, we investigate a lot of infectious disease reports. recognizing this high workload, our management formed a work group to tackle how to best manage this burden for our investigators. In May of 2016, MCDPH, or Maricopa County, achieved national accreditation status from the Public Health Accreditation Board. And as we all know, accreditation is based on standards that health departments can put into practice to ensure they are continuously improving services to their public. A strong quality improvement culture helps achieve this aim. It provides a deliberate and defined improvement process that can help achieve measurable results in regards to performance and other indicators of service or processes. Such a process brings consistency to an approach to optimize processes by using data for program decisions. Maricopa County chose to do the Plan, Do, Study, Act theory, or the PDSA. The plan is the change theory, what you're hoping, the change you're suggesting. The do is carrying out that change. The study is essentially the data before and after. And then the act is what do you do? Do you adopt what you incorporated, abandon it, or adapt? So this culture and methodology aligned well with our efforts to manage the workload. But you might ask, why are we concerned with this now? As is the case in many public health departments, there are mounting demands to provide more services without increasing resources. The Office of Epidemiology realized that to meet mandated requirements, our investigation processes would be streamlined or made more efficient so that we can be effective faster, essentially. The timeline documents that we were not new to streamlining efforts. It's just prior to accreditation, it was done haphazardly, and nothing was built upon another, and that lessons learned in one approach were not applied to another disease. And once done, we did not revisit to make sure that they were being carried out as intended. To add to the growing demand of services, in September of 2012, our office performed a structural reorganization into two units, the Communicable Disease Unit that I'm in, and the Epi Data Services Unit, which deals with more with our chronic issues and our community health assessments. When we did this, this kind of reduced our staff that was available for our mandated investigations. And so now that we're working with less, it's even more vital for us to craft ways in which we can work smarter and not harder. And in year of 2016, we had our year of accreditation and quality improvement. Incorporating the QI principles, the unit closely examined disease burden and the impact of our interventions. Disease investigations were prioritized and optimized in a systematic way that aligned with the QI methodology rather than the haphazard approach that we had been doing. So we tried to identify what diseases to streamline. The first criteria is that had to be a substantial burden, which we defined as more than 10 reports a year. And I'm sorry, I should mention there are about 90 diseases reportable in Arizona. Our unit only investigates about 70 of them. So then they also had to have more than 50% of reports that are ruled out. So that left us with 17 diseases. Of those 17, more than 20 reports had to be received per year. So things like brucellosis got removed with this step, and I think Q fever. They had to be of not high public health impact, so we didn't want to risk missing a case of measles or mumps, so we didn't want to adjust our processes. Everything that's necessary in those investigations were not going to get changed. And then of those remaining 9, 2 of them were artifacts of the previous year, so we did remove them because we knew they wouldn't be repeated. So of the 7 remaining diseases, there was Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, dengue, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, Lyme, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and West Nile virus. And we chose West Nile virus. Sorry. West Nile virus, for those of you who don't know, is a flavivirus. It arrived in Maricopa County in 2004 with 355 cases and 15 deaths that year. Since then, we average about 100 cases per year. In 2015, there were almost 500 reports received, of which 62 were confirmed or probable, and that's about an 87% rule-out rate. In 2016, there were 270 reports, a little less, same number of cases, but still about a 77% rule-out rate. As you can see, The repeated theme of these 2 years is that a lot of investigator time is used to rule out cases that had zero impact on our community. We need to reduce time spent on cases so that these efforts could be focused elsewhere. Other than looking at the percent ruled out, we also looked at how long it takes to do a case. So we looked at a three-year average, and for 2013 to 2015 to complete an investigation is 24 days for a current confirmed or probable case. For ruled out cases were about 5 days. As a baseline, so we started this project in June. For 2016, confirmed or probable cases were 6 days. Ruled out cases were about a day and a half. And you might think that's not too bad, but just recognize that June of 2016 is only maybe 2 months into our West Nile virus season, so we weren't even in the heat of it yet. It usually is about May to October, so we were just seeing the beginning of a season. So for QI, you have your plan, which has your aim, and our aim was to decrease West Nile virus investigation time by 20%. Our change theory was to update investigation criteria processes. We asked investigators to not investigate IgG-only results, as these are indicators of previous infection and not current infection. We asked them to go straight to an interview rather than waiting for medical records. Medical records can take up to like 5 days to receive, so we'd rather, if the patient was capable of being interviewed, go ahead and interview them. And then if a sample is sent to CDC for PRNT testing, we ask them to not wait for results to close a case, to submit a case. You can often do a preliminary classification, and if the PRNT changes that classification, you can just go in and change it later. We knew from the previous year that PRNT could take out to 30 to 60 days to get the results. And we failed. So this is our cycle one. Looking at case classifications, all of them grouped together, we increased 100% in our time to close the case. I love your face. That was mine. Ruled out increased about 129%. Confirmed and probable increased 18%. And so we pretty much went back to the drawing board, literally, and we took it to the investigators. We did what's called a fishbone diagram, where it's essentially a root cause analysis thing to do with the investigators. The line represents the problem you're trying to solve, so we asked the investigators, why didn't West Nile investigations actually increase? And just through the free-thinking conversation, you start to identify categories, and you're like, all right, well, we identified people as a category. What are some things associated with people that you think are contributing to this prolonged investigation time? And these discussions informed our cycle two change theory, which I'll get to in a moment. I'm not really going to talk about this. This is just how it looks like. The plan is the change theory. The do is the training of the investigators. We identified multiple barriers that existed to implement the revised criteria that we suggested, and we actually saw an increase. So the act was doing the fishbone diagram. So for cycle two, we still had the same aim of decreasing by 20%. However, the change theory was different in that we reallocated staff responsibilities because those came out through the fishbone diagram. We identified lack of sufficient staff, so we did hire 2 new investigation positions, and we also reassigned some responsibilities due to the high workload. So some of our epidemiologists started managing outbreaks rather than the investigators, and we started taking the rabies assessment calls. And a big thing was a lack of contact information for cases, so we reached out to our state health department, and they, because they have LexisNexis, they will search for people for us and get that missing contact information. And so we improved. So again, from baseline, if you look at the light green bar at the top, we decreased by 30% for all cases, 29% for ruled out cases, we got down to 1 day, and confirmed and probable, we decreased by 54%. And I'm lost. Well, okay, so, and again, just to see everything in the PDSA cycle, the change theory was reallocating responsibilities. Doing was hiring people, asking state partners to help us out. The study, we saw significant decreases in investigation time. And our act is we plan on continuing to monitor this, to revisit, to make sure it's carried out as intended. So hopefully this demonstrates that quality improvement principles are effective in epidemiology and for making our disease processes more efficient. To do that, stakeholder engagement is essential. We, as management, thought we knew what we were doing, but until we had those boots on the ground input from the investigators, we saw success. periodically evaluate the process to make sure changes are implemented. So when we revisited and saw that we got worse, Zika was happening at that time. You know, in an ideal world, you could launch something like this with no confounders, but there was Zika. We had a crypto outbreak going on. I think we had Salmonella Haviana at the same time. So we don't exist in a vacuum, so we have to consider that with these sort of things. And don't fear change, both as you, as the person creating everything, just because you failed, so to speak, doesn't mean it's bad. Just adapt. And I would like to thank everyone at Maricopa County and others that involved in the project. Thank you.